Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
I left off last week. We were looking at an article called, Are There Apostles and Prophets Today? And boy, is that a big question, or that's a serious concern, I should say, because of certain groups that are out there that have a variety of names that they're all basically coming from the same direction. We talked last week a lot about the fivefold ministries movement that are part of the greater New Apostolic Reformation that believes that there are modern-day apostles and prophets today. We talked about IHOP in an earlier podcast, International House of Prayer, which is part of the New Apostolic Reformation. But the big names that you should remember if you run across them, if you see New Apostolic Reformation, Fivefold Ministries, Joel's Army, Kingdom Now Theology, the Latter Rain Movement, or Dominion Theology, just know that that is false teaching to the core, and they all share, they're all really synonymous in what their beliefs and ideas are. Now, as we continue this week, I left off, I was reading from an article called Are There Apostles and Prophets Today? By Colin Tinker, who is a former Seventh-day Adventist, a former follower of, I always want to say Elizabeth Clare Prophet. That was another female cult leader. This is Ellen G. White, of course. And somebody wrote a book called The White Lie because of Ellen's lies and the cover-up that took place in that cult. But this magazine is called Proclamation Magazine that I got this article from. And I don't necessarily agree with everything theologically from this magazine, but I do agree that Seventh-day Adventism is a cult, and they certainly agree, and I count them to be brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm thankful for the insights they have coming out of that cult. And now being walking with, you know, true Christians and within, and being born again and being part of the body of Christ. You know, not a part of 2 Corinthians 11, where it tells us there's a different gospel, a different Christ, and a different spirit. But they are involved in the true gospel now. And I'm thankful for Colin Tinker in this article. Anyway, I don't even agree with everything exactly in the article, but I've picked out some things I thought were helpful. And we're finishing that article up, along with a few other contributions from some other apologists who were not Seventh-day Adventists, but who are also helpful. So, having said all that, let us go back to the article I was reading from. You know, are there, excuse me, are there apostles and prophets today? Now, this article, I left off on the last page of the article, and under the heading Christians and the Holy Spirit, she writes, the normal life of born-again Christians is that the Holy Spirit works in us to comfort us, teach us, guide us, and even to give us words to say at appropriate times, often without our even knowing it's happening. But God is not sending people as prophets or apostles today to speak for him and to foretell the future and to tell people God's will. You'll find that at places like IHOP and Bethel Church in Redding, California, and other such movements, you know, like fortune tellers, actually. We don't need prophets telling us God's will because he speaks directly to us himself through his Spirit in applying his own word to our lives. And that's God's word, in the infallible, inerrant word of God, the 66 books of the Bible. Does God send people to talk to us and help us to become grounded in truth? Absolutely. In fact, 1 Corinthians 14:3 tells us that one who prophesies speaks to men for edification and exhortation and consolation. Colin says, the gifts of the Spirit are real, but many false teachers and false prophets, about whom the Lord Jesus warned us himself, come and claim to speak for God. They lead people and develop reputations as mouthpieces for God. People honor them and trust them. But Scripture never gives us that prophet model in the New Testament. In fact, we are to test any message that claims to be prophetic. And I think, of course, I always that the one that comes to mind immediately is 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Test all things. You look it up. It's a good one. Anyway, there's only one way to test any prophetic message: Scripture itself. Anyone who actually, and that's 1 Thessalonians 5:21, and tells us to test all things. Dave Hunt used to say, test everything, test everybody, test me, you know, and we should say the same. You should test what I say. Test everything, but test it with the Scripture. Anyone who actually speaks forth for God will not draw attention to himself, but will honor the Lord Jesus and exalt him above all. They will speak and encourage with God's words as he has given them to us in Scripture. Okay, that's the end of the article. Now, but we're still looking at the topic of New Testament prophets. And, you know, are there prophets for today? Well, I referred to Ron Rhodes, one of his books, earlier in one of my earlier podcasts, and it's called 5-Minute Apologetics. And on page... Or actually, it's paged by days, you know, day 86, because it's devotional. It's 365-day devotional, very helpful in dealing with all kinds of errors and other practical Bible topics, etc. Under the topic New Testament prophets, he says, some in recent years have argued for the fallibility, in other words, that they're not infallible, of New Testament prophets. A view that excuses fallible prophecies among modern-day Christians who claim to have the gift of prophecy. Let's read that again. Some in recent years have argued for the fallibility of New Testament prophets, a view that excuses fallible prophecies among modern-day Christians who claim to have the gift of prophecy. They note that New Testament believers are urged to judge what is offered as prophecy in 1 Corinthians 14:29, thus allegedly implying that a New Testament prophet could be in error. See, this is another slant. We're looking at this whole issue of New Testament prophets and apostles, and prophets today and apostles today, etc. We're looking at this from a different slant here, that there are those that imply that the New Testament prophets in the New Testament, in other words, in other words, like the apostles and the prophets that were built on the cornerstone of Jesus Christ, the foundation for the church. Actually, this instruction in 1 Corinthians 14:29 was given to guard against false prophets. If a prophet tries to pawn off some revelation that contradicts the previous prophets, he or she is clearly a false prophet. And then he quotes Deuteronomy chapter 13 and Deuteronomy 18, and we'll look at those a little bit later. From the Bible and also from a book that is a source that quotes those verses or those chapters. We know that New Testament prophets were infallible because, and he has four bullet points here, New Testament prophets are portrayed as being in continuity with their Old Testament predecessors, Malachi 3:5, Matthew 11:11, Revelation 22:7. The second point, Old and New Testament prophets join the apostles as the foundation of the church, Ephesians 2:20, and since the apostles' revelations were infallible, 1 Corinthians 14:37, we can infer that the New Testament prophets were likewise infallible. Not fallible, but infallible. The third bullet point, New Testament prophets received revelations from God, 1 Corinthians 14:29, and were therefore just as infallible as Old Testament prophets who received revelations from God. And finally, number four, New Testament prophets give bona fide predictive prophecies, Acts 11:28 and Acts 21:11, just as the Old Testament prophets did. And it says to see Deuteronomy 18:22, which we will not do at this time. But now we want to look at Deuteronomy 13 and Deuteronomy 18, and some comments from a book I had previously quoted in previous podcasts, Wandering Stars. The author's name escapes me, and that embarrasses me because I actually know the author. But I will find that, and but we will continue. It's, oh, here we go. Is this it? Yeah, Wandering Stars. Keith Gibson, Wandering Stars, Contending for the Faith with the New Apostles and Prophets. And so there's a book that deals specifically with this whole thing we're dealing with now, and that is, of course, these groups that I've named, these synonymous names that all are dealing with this idea that apostles and prophets are needed today, that they have the same powers or even greater powers, I suppose, maybe some of them would say, than the God-given power that came through the original apostles and prophets in the New Testament church. Now, in this book, Wandering Stars, Deuteronomy 13:1-5 states, if a prophet or one who foretells by dreams appears among you and announces to you a miraculous sign or wonder, and if the sign or wonder of which he has spoken takes place, and he says, let us follow other gods, gods you have not known, and let us worship them, you must not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer. Now, just stop and think about that. God warns people in advance, doesn't he? He tells you that there may be somebody that comes to you who claims to be a prophet, as some of the IHOP, for instance, prophets, so-called prophets, claimed, and they would, if they foretell by a dream, if a prophet or one who foretells by dreams appears among you and announces to you a miraculous sign or wonder, and if the sign or wonder of which he has spoken takes place, what? You mean that could happen? Well, apparently that could happen. Apparently it does happen. And God is warning us that it can happen. But let's read on and repeat what I read before. And then he says, let us follow after other gods. I mean, at first you might say, well, this must be a prophet of God. What he said actually took place. And then he says, let's follow some other god. Let's follow me. Hey, I'm a god or whatever. Well, now, that should immediately dissipate whatever else he said that came to pass. You know, I don't care how miraculous something is. You test everything by the word of God. And this is the word of God telling you how to test even something that could take place that some so-called prophet said. So in other words, basically, he's still a false prophet because he's telling you to worship and follow other gods. It says you must not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer. The Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you love him with all your heart and with all your soul. It is the Lord your God you must follow, and him you must revere. Keep his commands and obey him. Serve him and hold fast to him. That prophet or dreamer must be put to death. Now, this is from the Old Testament, and so that doesn't apply to the New Testament, but the principles do apply that God is warning, okay? Because he preached rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. He has tried to turn you from the Lord, from the way the Lord your God commanded you to follow. You must purge the evil from among you. The other key text is Deuteronomy 18:20-22, which states, but a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded him to say, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, must be put to death. Again, Old Testament, not New Testament. You may say to yourselves, how can we know when a message has not been spoken of the Lord? If what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. The Lord has not spoken. Well, duh. That one's a little easier than the one that comes to pass, but then he says, hey, let's follow other gods. Either way, you know, that should be a moment of clarity for any of us to say, I'm not following this dude, okay? You know, he's obviously false in one way or the other. That prophet has spoken presumptuously. Do not be afraid of him. Now, Keith in his book says, it is important to note that God gave both a doctrinal and practical test for establishing a prophet. In the doctrinal test of Deuteronomy 13, the prophet must point to the one true God and lead people in his way. In the practical test of Deuteronomy 18, the prophet's predictions must come to pass. Those claiming to be prophets who failed these tests were to be executed. These two texts provide the foundational principles for differentiating between a true and false prophet. Now, I have some time remaining here, and so I do want to make a few more comments from Keith's book concerning this whole issue of prophecy. I think we've established that there are no apostles and prophets today. I think people differ on whether there is prophecy or what form it takes, or whether it's the written word spoken by someone, or any such thing. And so I want to give you a point of view that you can just throw in the hopper there, because I do have some time left, and I didn't know that I would have this time, or I might not have commented on it, but let's just put this out there. And here's the, I guess you would say, the disclaimer that the author says here in Wandering Stars. He says, it is not my purpose to either defend or critique Wayne Grudem's book, The Gift of Prophecy in the New Testament and Today. To do so would require another book in and of itself. He says, my purpose is merely to succinctly articulate Grudem's central points and then to demonstrate their impact upon the modern apostolic and prophetic movement. And that's what we really want to do here, is not promote one view or the other concerning prophecy in general, but just to see how modern-day false prophets and apostles try to use Mr. Grudem's points, which he would not agree with what they're trying to do. Okay, in the book, Grudem argues for a closed canon and a cessation of the office of apostle, but for a continuance of New Testament prophecy, which he defines as a lower form of revelation where one expresses in human words impressions that God brings to mind. Okay. According to Grudem, the New Testament equivalent of the Old Testament prophet is the apostle. Old Testament prophets spoke the very words of God. They wrote Scripture. New Testament apostles also spoke the very words of God and wrote Scripture. These gifts functioned with 100% accuracy. According to Grudem, there are no prophets or apostles in this sense in existence today. Okay, it must be admitted that some confusion arises when charismatics call prophecy the word of the Lord, but then say it is not exactly the word of the Lord. But that confusion seems to come from the lack of distinction between Old Testament and New Testament prophecy. In actual practice, no responsible charismatic leader says that prophecy today is equal in authority to Scripture or should be treated as such, which is what many, of course, in the New Apostolic Reformation would say. According to Grudem's thesis, New Testament prophecy, such as what was occurring at Corinth or what Philip's daughters practice, is of a much lower nature. It is speaking from impressions that God brings to mind. It might be likened to a sort of spontaneous preaching, although Grudem himself does not make that analogy. It could include impressions of direction that the individual believes are coming from God. In many church circles, phrases like, the Lord spoke to my heart, or I sense the Lord leading us, are relatively common and would constitute a form of what Grudem calls New Testament prophecy. A critical point is that, for Grudem, the Old Testament tests of a prophet do not apply to New Testament prophecy. And those are the ones I just read, of course, Deuteronomy. I think those principles should still be upheld myself, but of course I don't believe that we're supposed to execute false prophets. But let's see a little bit more. I still have some time. In arguing that the New Testament gift of prophecy is of a different nature, Grudem points out that in the New Testament, in passages like 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says that the prophets are to speak and the rest are to judge, but there is no attempt to gather up and preserve their words and add them to the canon of Scripture. In other words, you know, we're not adding a 67th book of the Bible here, nor is there any admonition to execute the prophets for speaking incorrectly. For instance, while Paul acknowledges the presence of prophets within the Corinthian church, there remains no record of anything any of these prophets ever spoke. See, that's interesting, isn't it? Similarly, while the book of Acts record that Philip's daughters prophesied, there is no record of their prophecies. Further, there is no indication that the prophets are to be put to death or even excommunicated. This is, in Grudem's estimation, because the level of revelation, and therefore the accountability, is much lower. In fact, Grudem argues that it is really the prophecy and not the prophet that is normally being judged. Speaking of 1 Thessalonians 5:19 through 21, and I quoted 1 Thessalonians 5:21 shortly, or part of it earlier. There it is the prophecies, verses 20, that are evaluated or judged, not the prophets. This Pauline passage is much closer to 1 Corinthians 14:29 than the other non-Pauline passages, which may be speaking to situations which are quite dissimilar. In fact, in both 1 Thessalonians 5:19 through 21 and 1 Corinthians 14:29 and following, there's an absence of any warning about false prophets, a lack of criteria for judging them, and an absence of any hint of strangers coming from the outside and pretending to be prophets. While other passages speak of tests to reveal false prophets, 1 Corinthians 14:29 and 1 Thessalonians 5:19 through 21 speak rather of a different sort of evaluation, the evaluation of the actual prophecies of those who are already accepted. And I don't know that I would fully agree with that, as I say, everything that he's saying there, but just for your information and evaluation, we can put this out here. It is this idea of a lower level of accountability more than any other that has been seized upon, and this is why we're discussing this, and this is why Keith in his book here is discussing this. In fact, he said earlier, as I said, it was not his purpose to either defend or critique Grudem's book, and neither is it mine, just so I can make that clear. Anyway, it is this idea of a lower level of accountability more than any other that has been seized upon by members of the modern apostolic and prophetic movement and used by them to deflect any objective evaluation of their prophetic status. It should be noted that, unlike Grudem, these modern prophets demand an accountability that is lower, while arguing for a revelatory status that is equal to or even higher than the New Testament apostles. Remember, I said that earlier. In some cases, they even claim to be, they have higher power and higher authority and a higher revelatory status that is equal or even higher than the New Testament apostolic. And that smacks of cultism, of course, to me. As this book will demonstrate, members of this new movement claim to be the greatest apostles and prophets who have ever lived, while at the same time demanding to be given a pass when their prophecies fail and their doctrines prove to be unbiblical. And for me, that's what how I always warn people. It's like, look, these people claim to be prophets, but hey, it's okay. You know, we're just practicing. You know, you're a prophet, but it's okay if you blow it. It's just like being a sinner. We still sin. Well, when you're a prophet, you know, you're not going to get all your prophecies correct, because you're like a prophet in training. Well, you can't have it both ways. And if you're going to claim to be a prophet and that you have even greater status, revelatory status, equal or higher to the New Testament apostles, then you sure better be giving prophecies that are coming true if you're claiming such a claim. And they're not. They give themselves a pass and they just excuse it and say, oh, well, no big deal. Like I say, the idea is you're a prophet in training. You're going to blow it. You can't be a good prophet without making a few false prophecies along the way. That's basically my understanding of what has been said by some of these folks. Anyway, in Grudem's opinion, New Testament prophets should refrain from thus saith the Lord declarations and instead offer their words in a more humble, I think the Lord is suggesting something like, fashion. Grudem would further assent that these words do not write new doctrines or practices for the church. Absolutely not. These words are to bring edification, exhortation, and comfort, as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 14. So I think this was an interesting topic to pursue here. And I will, I'm sure, in future podcasts be talking more and more about the New Apostolic Prophetic Movement, because it's a very dangerous movement, and it's in your neighborhood. You know, the local franchise of the IHOP out of Kansas City is really within about a mile, I would say a mile to 2 miles of my house. And I have been getting the week by week the updates of the history of IHOP, which I've read in earlier podcasts to you. So I'm sure I will be commenting more about this movement in general, the New Apostolic Reformation, because they've infiltrated many churches, and it's a spiritually dangerous group. And so I hope that you all will study the Word, study to show yourself approved, and let God's Word be your guide. Thy Word is a guide unto my feet and a light unto my path, right? So God bless you all, and we will talk to you next week. Please come back. Good night.